Or, as we like to say,
the truth is always out there, sometimes way out there, with the Midweek Drive team on Siren 107.3 FM.
And we'll be finding out a bit more about Phil Leonis's tendency to meditate with his cat towards the end of the programme. I know, it's very strange, it's spooky.
I like it.
Cameron, we have managed to access the delights of Morgan Miles. We have the video all set and lined up for Whiskey Dreaming. All you need to do, basically, sir, is introduce it, and then we will hopefully press the button this side of the Atlantic.
Cool. Last summer, I had the pleasure of being introduced to Morgan when I was interviewing her for Young Country TV, and that was during the CMA Country Music Festival last summer. And this year, we're thrilled that she's got brand new music out. She's originally from Williamsport, Pennsylvania, and she went to Berklee College of Music in Boston during her freshman year. But then Clay Bradley, who was the former vice president of Sony's A&R division, suggested she transfer to Belmont here in Nashville, and she got her degree there at Belmont Curb College of Music Business. And this is just such a great album, or EP. It's just getting such attention. At the end of the year, a lot of publications put her as an artist to watch for 2016. We have picked her this week on our National Access Super Pick, so she's on that worldwide, and she's making her debut on Siren today. I hope you really like this song. Great video to go along with it. She's a really super lady, and this is it. This is Whiskey Dreaming, Morgan Miles on Siren FM.
Drink on me because you're never ever going to get back with me. Well, it could be a case of never, ever, ever getting back together, but let's find out. Katie Dorr, what did you make of Whiskey Dreaming and Morgan Miles?
It was kind of a really sweet, bittersweet song, though.
I mean, she wore the red dress well, I thought, and sort of.
Can't beat a red dress.
It's always important. That's what Christopher sang about the whole thing, of course. Very important. Emma Tinson.
I quite like that, yeah. It's one of those weird songs where it sounds like a really jolly, happy tune, but then you listen to the lyrics and it's like, oh, that's sad.
You wouldn't want to be the bloke with the beard.
No.
He's just going to end up...
But yeah, no, I like that. That was kind of catchy.
Okay. Claire Margerison.
It's definitely my sort of thing, yeah. I'd like to listen to more. And I was looking at the website, and I really like a website design as well, like the logo.
Okay, so Claire and Emma, we'll put you in the hot seat now.
Claire loves her on a multimedia level.
Exactly. Would you wish Cameron to possibly sort of inquire about getting her on the show?
Definitely.
Yeah, we should get her on.
What do you think, Katie?
I think so, definitely.
Well, I think it's thumbs up from our end of the Atlantic, Cameron. What about yourself? I mean, you must be happy with that. Okay.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do. I think she'd be happy to be on the show.
Yay!
Well, there you are. You see, Morgan Miles on FM. See what we did there? MM on FM. Right. Quickly, Cameron, would you like to share with us how people can actually access Nashville Access?
Yeah, Nashville Access. We're on, this is a great new radio show that we're doing. It's an hour long. My buddy Dallas and I are doing this. We're on 32 radio stations in 10 countries. We're on everywhere from Argentina up through Costa Rica and Mexico through Canada. We're on in Australia, New Zealand, the UK, Norway, and Greece. It's just really taken off. We started this back about November, I think, just before our Thanksgiving here in Nashville. And what we're really trying to do is expose the world to country music. A lot of the stations we're on are not country stations. They're multi-format stations. So it's kind of introducing people to a lot of things. We play mostly chart stuff. Every week we do this National Access Super Pick, and we find an independent artist and kind of give them a bump and introduce them to world audiences. We're on the web, nashville-access.com. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Nashville Access. We're on Twitter at Nashville Access. We would love to hear from people and like to get it on in your market.
Katie, will you be getting your pet rats to sign up to Nashville Access and like the actual show itself?
We will all be listening.
Yeah, it's right. And how are they, by the way?
See, now you've got me with pet rats. I used to have pet rats and love them. I think they're great.
So there we are, you see. How are they?
They are very well, thank you. Very yes, good.
Are they tuned in today?
The radio will be playing today. Nice. Simon and Herman will be playing.
Do you believe Tessa Snart might also be tuned in today? But we don't know. She's still in Peterborough.
She's
doing reviews of pantomime versions. Exactly. Promises she'll be back next week, but you never know.
She's still in Peterborough. Did they finally put up the fence around there?
Yeah. You can say that, Cameron. Of course, we wouldn't possibly comment. You would probably recall that this week we saw the sad passing of the artist David Bowie. We're offering our contributors to the show the chance to actually choose a David Bowie tune. What would you actually like to recommend, Cameron, from your own point of view, we should possibly go with? And if the computer actually has it, we will play it.
There are so many classics, and the new one is really kind of cool. So I'm kind of torn between that one and Heroes. Because I like Heroes a lot.
Well, Heroes would have been a definite sort of line of things. We could go for Black Star. We could go for... Should we go for Heroes? I mean, in terms of the whole sequence, it was obviously from his time in Berlin. And, of course, no. Some people might say he never actually bettered his duet with Bing Crosby with Little Drummer Boy. Pum, 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 pum. Only kidding, David. It's a fellow Capricorn, you know. Let's go with Heroes. Cameron, last two questions for your good self are going to be delivered, if she can remember them, by Katie Dorr.
Have you had an enjoyable telephonic experience with us today?
It's been fun.
And will you be joining us again soon?
We'll be back next week.
Fantastic. Excellent. I just realised I've got this 6 seconds version of Heroes there, which is obviously... You didn't even think there was a 6 second version. Let's go for the full unmitigated version. David Bowie, Heroes on Siren 107.3 FM. Indeed, if memory serves, it was 1977 when actually Bowie sang Heroes on the Bing Crosby Christmas special, and the world was never again the same. Some people might say it's always been slightly weird in its own sort of way. Isn't that right, Anna Lewis in Jersey?
Yeah, I mean, it came as a shock. I mean, too many people have died of that age. I mean, Natalie Cole, then Guru Josh, whose father actually put a little thank you note in the local newspaper for people who sent messages of condolence to him, because I met a taxi driver who was at Guru Josh's wedding, and he said he was a really, really nice bloke, but he knew how to live and live well.
And of course, we did the tribute to Guru Josh
last week.
Lemmy from Motorhead. But let's face it, it reminds us of our own mortality. That's the key thing, and to savour the moments as we work our way through the 500,600 minutes that we've actually got in a year. Just want to put that out in case you guys tie the whole thing. There is a relevance to something else we'll be playing in the near future. Anna, we created a bit of a stir with Emma because she was a wee bit fretful when I actually said, yeah, we'll be with her around about this time, assuming she hasn't been carted off by security. And you were concerned.
I'm so worried. Anna, what's going on?
Well, we were in a building which has got 1, 2, 3, 4 floors, but there's only like one room per floor and a mezzanine floor, 2 mezzanine floors actually. But we are not governed by our own security. The local museum governs our security and they're next door. So when the museum decides to close at this whatever time, they come and chase us out of the building. And one of our ladies got locked in the toilet one day. She was locked in the
building. That must have been terrifying.
Oh, no.
At least she was safe and secure.
Yes, she was. Yeah, she just celebrated her 90th birthday about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, nice.
It wasn't that long ago that she got locked in the toilet. So, you know, I don't think he went... That's the thing, you see. If you're a man, you don't normally go into the ladies' toilet to check if there's anyone floating around.
It's my worst nightmare.
Anna, in these days of transgendered individuals, you don't know what could happen. I blame Ally McBeal, personally. But still, that was a whole routine. Unisex news. It's just strange stuff. We have Katie Dorr back in the studio.
Hello, Anna.
Hello, Katie.
There we are, yes. back with us for hopefully another whole season of other exciting things and such like. And Katie, have you been proudly displaying your calendar?
I have indeed.
Good.
Yes, my mum wants another one as well.
Yeah, my mum's taken my calendar.
Oh dear.
Yeah, it's all part and parcel of the rich collector's item. It's a limited edition. We might get one or two sort of additional ones out there, but it works through that basis. You talked about some of the key things that were happening within that. I mean, Anna, you and I were around clearly when John Lennon sadly was cut off in his prime back in the day of our London University stuff and Sims and all the rest of the bits and pieces. Were you a fan of Bowie, or if not a fan, what did you appreciate his artistry? What were your sort of thoughts on?
I did. I'll tell you what really
caught
my view. It was a film called The Hunger, where Catherine Deneuve was in it, and it was a rather kind of odd film about I suppose it's like progeria, where the people would grow old quickly, but there was a way that you could save yourself, and that's to sort of stab someone in the chest with an Ankh dagger type thing. But he was actually a really, really good actor in that. And I went and made a point of seeing that film twice because it was so good.
Yeah. I mean, I thought he was excellent in Merry Christmas, Mr. Lawrence, amongst other things. And, of course, absolute beginners of me. And let us not forget The Goblin King.
Of course.
Exactly. Which is a whole system. Claire, clearly you were sort of born a long, long time after David Bowie sort of emerged within the planet. But your thoughts on the sort of work and his work as an artist and so on?
I think that David Bowie is really interesting because there are so many songs, so many references, so many parts of our sort of culture that are immersed within, like, come from David Bowie. And I think that is really poignant because you'll start hearing songs because he's passed away, so many people are like reliving that, and you'll go, oh, I had no idea that was linked to David Bowie.
And let's not forget Duncan Jones, of course, formerly Zoe Bowie, who of course the director of Moon and various other sort of fabulous sort of SF scenarios on that basis. Katie.
Oh, I just think he was an astonishing artist, and you listen to the work he did on the Moulin Rouge soundtrack, and he was always happy to be himself and willing to be weird. And I think that's the key message for me that I get from his work.
Was it just a reinvented persona? Was he never quite sure as to who we were? I say this as a fellow Capricorn still around. Elvis Presley, David Bowie, Jack Lord, McGarrity for Y50. And there's an artist. Emma.
Yeah, I mean, Katie's so right. I mean, he was so different, and that was what was so special about him. He really showed people that it's okay to be different and unique and be yourself.
And of course, as a fine soul who went through Origins of Modern Britain, you're well aware that David Bowie was part of that whole tranche of artists who really kind of made Britain cool again.
Indeed.
In the 60s and 70s and so on.
Definitely. I mean, I think he's such an icon. And actually, when I heard the news, I woke up in the morning and my boyfriend told me, and he was flicking through Twitter and saw it, and I didn't believe him. I genuinely thought he was joking because I was so
even
shocked.
The David Bowie Facebook site had to put out a statement saying it isn't a hoax, it is actually true.
I genuinely was so surprised, and I think because he's such a colourful character, I always viewed him as a young person, and to think
he's
of
only
him,
69.
Yeah, but you know,
that's only 10 years younger than I am.
To think of him as having passed away, you know, I think it's very sad for the whole world, really.
Well, life continues, and what does the rest of the week have in store for your good self, Anna Lewis?
Well, we've had an absolutely amazing day today in the library. You couldn't wish for anything weirder than today. First of all, we had a French photographer who's researching the life of an explorer by the name of Henry Muhot, M-O-U-H-O-T, and we were grave hunting for any relatives who may have been buried in Jersey. We actually found someone, because the explorer Mungo Parks, who went missing in wherever it was on the River Niger and died at the age of 35, was related to Mr. Muhot through marriage. So that was the first moment of interest, this French photographer man.
He actually died in 1861, did Henry Mouhot, born May the 15th, 1826, died November 10th, 1861. A French naturalist and explorer of the mid-19th century, who actually remembered mostly in connection to Angkor, Mouhot's tomb located just outside Ban Fanon to the east of Luang Prabang. I think I was making this up. Well, that's all part of the web. It's that instantaneousness of communication.
Information at your fingertips.
Exactly.
I mean, there is a Jersey connection, which is really wonderful. And then we had the weirdest connection of all. We have a lady who's transcribing Catholic baptisms and death records. And she found that a man who died in 1781 also reincarnated as Baron de Walcourt and was born and died on the same day in September 1878, which is very odd.
Now,
because there are not many people called Baron de Roulcourt.
When you say reincarnated, I mean, I appreciate the Tibetan Book of the Dead, we're into Bowie, we're into all of this.
I can't understand why anyone would call their child Baron de Roulcourt. It's just a weird, you know, it's like the Marquis de Sade. Would you call your child the Marquis de Sade?
If we go back to the, I mean, you know, Frank Zappa named his child Moon Unit, you know, so, you know, there is a kind of template for this in all sorts of ways. And speaking as Alexei John Anthony Levchuk, I can't complain, but there we are.
Now, what does it mean, Levchuk? Is it lion tamer?
Yeah, but the bottom dropped out of that business a long time ago. You just, you know, it's that old little lion, technically. Little lion, or you know, it's more like a purr, isn't it, really? Where's he gone? He's lost his roar. It's like Aslan. Never mind. Let's go into that at another time. Well, that's splendid. I mean, it's extraordinary. I mean, Emma is just...
What a mix of things you've had today.
Yeah, it's weird. It's been such an interesting day. I think this is the only job I've ever had where I've actually... I get quite excited when I come in because we end up doing some weird stuff. And
if you can't do weird stuff in your employment...
What is the point?
Exactly. I mean, you know, Katie, day after day, you just seem to do non-stop weird stuff up on the first floor there.
It sounds extremely weird.
It's just weird. But still, life continues. Claire, would you like to throw those last two questions to Anna Lewis, please?
Of course I can. Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today, Anna?
I have. It's been a lovely way to round off my day. Thank you.
Yeah, security haven't locked her in, although they might have.
Not yet.
And will you be joining us again soon?
I would love to. Thank you.
And Anna, let's throw this over to you, good self. Any particular Bowie track you'd like us to run for you, good self, in this little Bowie tribute that we're running?
I'll let you choose, because you've got a good taste in music. I know. Major Tom, because that's a lovely one if you haven't played it already.
Well, I think it's Space Oddity to its whole sort of sequence that's actually up there. And once again, you know, I think we need to play the full version as opposed to just the opening sort of sequence. Exactly. Still, Major Tom's a junkie. Oh, no, that was Ashes to Ashes. That's another line entirely. Anyway, Anna, we'll speak to you next week. Take care now.
Cheerio. Bye-bye.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom. Commencing countdown, engines on. 3, 2, check ignition, 1. And may God's love lift be off. With you. This
And strangely enough, when the movie of The Woman Who Was the Desert Dream is made, I feel that would be a perfect audio soundtrack to part of the general excesses of the trek through the desert. What will the creator of The Woman Who Was the Desert Dream and a whole heap of other goodies actually see? He's gone.
Oh,
he's put the phone down.
No. That's such a depressing noise.
Exactly. You know, he's literally gone out of our ground control. He's moved into a different area entirely. Outrageous. Still, never mind. Let's try and reach him again, shall we? Of course, we were referring to William Coles, who technically should actually be with us in the very near future. Hopefully, say, if he picks up the number and responds in sort of time-honored fashion. Then again, well, you see, it is ringing now, so there we are. I don't know. You build up these sort of connections, and are you there?
Sorry about that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I do this big build-up. I do this connection between Space Oddity and The Woman Who Was the Desert Dream, and you hang up on us. I mean, it's the sort of thing that could give a friendly neighbourhood radio presenter a bit of a complex, really.
Oh, yes. Of course, it was entirely me that hung up on you and not you pressing the wrong button.
Passing the blame.
You know, standard Sun journalist behaviour, of course. No, no, honestly, he's moved on since then.
Yes, well, it is our abiding principle that, you know, when it all goes tits up, we say deny, deny, deny.
Do you know what a wonderful way to talk about the return of the X-Files, which, of course, we'll be featuring in about 20 minutes on the programme with our very own Ed Fortune from Starburst magazine. So great stuff there. Another short mini-series that is going to excite people beyond reason, really. Anyway, moving on. Quick introductions, Bill, to the team. We have the delightful Katie Dorr with us.
Hello.
Hello, Katie.
Hello.
We have the equally delightful and strangely surreal Surrey lass, Emma Tinson, with us as well.
I don't think I'm strangely surreal.
It's alliteration, perhaps. It's fine.
I'm just working on the next set of jingles, Emma. Don't worry.
Hello, anyway.
Exactly. And we have the fabulous Harrogate lass extraordinaire that is Claire Margerison.
Hello.
That was a better intro.
Well, that's great. So you're surrounded by ladies tonight.
Often is.
It's ladies' night.
I like to feel of it as I like to feel that in many ways it's the balance. You know, I mean, it's very important from that perspective.
It works.
Exactly. Yeah. Let us move on to one of the main topics that's inevitably sort of been key to our programme this evening, and that is, what are people made about David Bowie? You don't have to answer if you don't want to, Bill, but I mean, your thoughts as somebody who, in a sense, being of a
gen-
Yes?
Can we clarify one thing? We were having this discussion last night. Is it Bowie or Bowie?
Well, it used to be always Bowie after the Bowie knife, but then there was an interview with the man himself who said even he didn't know whether it was Bowie, Bowie, or Bowie, as he's occasionally sort of had referred to it. So I think ultimately we've got a certain latitude in that sort of sense.
Right, but he did call his kid Zoe.
As in Zoe Bowie, but now, of course, he's Duncan Jones. Which he would be, because he would have been David Jones, and he changed his name from Davy Jones, David Jones, not to be confused with the monkey, who was also passed into Heaven FM. So there we are, they could do a duet, Davy Jones and Davy Jones.
Has Davy Jones passed into Heaven FM?
Yeah, but two years ago, actually, or 18 months ago. Yeah, exactly. It's but there are still three monkeys still around.
Oh.
Did you have a monkey night that night as well?
Well, after a fashion. I mean, in a real sense, I feel I was fortunate enough to meet Davy Jones as opposed to David Jones, David Bowie, on several occasions, likewise with Mickey DeLenz, and I always felt more of a monkey as opposed to a kind of Aladdin sane. But never mind, that's just a little cross-reference. Did you ever meet him, Bill?
No, I never had the pleasure, but yeah, he was fantastic. And what I particularly liked was that he knew he was... dying 18 months ago, and that really focused the mind. And you know, so there he is churning out Lazarus and this last album, and as soon as it's completed, then he knows his job's done and he can die, and no one had a clue that he was dying either.
It's timing, that's the important thing.
Yep.
From that point of view, I was quite concerned when I was reading your blog recently, Bill, of course accessible via wcoles.com, and we have one rule to save your life when terrorists attack, and just as you actually click on read more, effectively the thing will not scroll down any further.
Aww.
You know, you kind of get to the stage, but just in case you are confronted by an ISIS gunman, this is the one golden rule that might just save your life and that's it. You know, nothing. Diddly squats.
Perfect. What do you think? What do you think the golden rule was then to save your life?
I don't. Katie.
No idea.
Emma.
Camouflage. That's what I do.
Instant camouflage.
Camouflage, yeah, yeah.
We are comedians.
I'm just like standing against the wall.
Exactly. And Claire?
Yeah, I think camouflage. Comedians, we're students, we'll blend in with the background.
All right, okay. Well, that's an idea. I mean, camouflage would obviously help, but generally you don't have much notice, and so it's going to be, you only have a few seconds to play with. But the theory was that, and we sort of saw it at the Bataclan in France, that the people who did what the terrorists wanted, just lie down, keep calm, all got shot. And what you have to bear in mind is that these terrorists don't actually wish you well. They want you dead. And it's a lot easier for them to kill you if you do what they tell you to do. So the golden rule with terrorists is to do the opposite of what they tell you to do. Start screaming, running, panicking, run right at them, chuck stuff at them, but do not do what they tell you.
Don't so actually breaking into a version of I'm a little teapot, look at me, would possibly be a way to actually save your life. You know, I'm
yes,
a little
you
teapot,
can pretend
look
you're
at
mad.
Me. Well, exactly. Yeah. Okay, well, I mean, obviously we wouldn't necessarily endorse these things as part of the Siren FM official programme procedure at 25 to 6 on a Wednesday evening, but it's worth noting. That's the important thing. It's worth noting.
What wouldn't you endorse? You're saying it's crackpot. Do you not give terrorist advice on Siren FM?
Strange as it may seem, unlikely. It's not one of our top 10 lists, although it is bold and ambitious. So let's face it, on that basis.
I think on ISIS's top 100, Lincoln Cathedral would have to be a pretty big one thereafter, right?
Listen, I'm still working on building up our audience in North Korea. I mean, it's already, you know, we had a birthday gift for the leader there who actually said, it's my birthday, I'd like a big bomb. And he got one, just not as big as he perhaps thought it was going to be. So never mind. Let's progress from world politics to the new book. In fact, it's still a new book, technically, because I haven't heard of a new one that's come out and replaced it as yet. It's The Spare Air Handbook. Katie, when you sort of sent me an email saying anything I should buzz up on for the show or gen up on with respect to Netflix, etc., I was tempted to actually give you a physical copy of one of Bill's sort of wonderful texts. Sadly, I figured that one day's notice, you would be even your good self might have been pushed.
That would be some speedy reading.
Yes. Emma, of course, has read Mr. Two Bomb.
I have. I loved it, actually. It was
very sweet if you say so.
Well, I have to, you know. No,
of course, that's my slight worry about appearing on Siren FM, that you have to pick up all the books.
No, I'm joking. I honestly thought I've never really read a book like it, actually. I've always been into more my kind of fantasies and sort of creative things that aren't very real. And I thought reading that actually was fascinating. And you know, you must have put a lot of research into doing this.
Yeah, tons of research. God, it's the last time I ever write a piece of historical fiction. I had to eat these books. I had to eat about 100 of them, and it was... Yeah, I mean, I did it, but I wouldn't relish having to do it again. Well, not my cup of tea.
But it was worth it, because I can tell you this much, Bill, that if Emma doesn't like a book, she'll usually say something like... Well, that was very interesting.
I know. If I don't read it, if I didn't like it, I wouldn't have read it to the end.
What would you say when the gaffer asks you live on air whether you liked it or not?
I would have been like,
yes, quite interesting. Maybe, you know, ancient Chinese curse. Claire, you haven't had a chance to work through that, but you are looking to be a publisher. Who knows? Yes. You could put in a bid, and maybe Bill could be your first star sort of author when he's
okay. Yeah, absolutely. What sort of stuff are you going to be publishing, Claire?
Well, I'm hoping to get into editorial. I'm currently interning for a non-fiction company at the moment, so that's really interesting. But I'd really like to. I think primarily fiction editorial, but I'm not fussy. Whatever I can get into, I'm sure I'll find a really interesting way.
And this very day, Bill, she has been spending the entire hours and seconds of the day itself phoning pubs.
And some people get very angry.
Unbelievable.
Phoning pubs? Why have you been phoning pubs?
I've got to check whether we can feature articles about them in the book that we're publishing. So we've got to get their permission, and some people just think I'm trying to sell them something, and I'm like, no, please, I have a nice voice.
Why do you have to get their permission? Why don't you just do it?
Well,
spoken like a true Sun journalist.
Defamation. You know what? If we just did that, then I wouldn't be getting paid for my job at the moment. So it's quite good that I'm able to do this. It is actually, it's a really good experience, and they're really nice people to work
being
for.
Being sworn at by most by these publicans.
Yes.
Well, now my general philosophy, which I sort of honed on the Sun, was that if you have a good idea, you should act on it immediately. Because in the end, it's much easier to apologise than it is to ask for permission. And so when these people are whining away saying, why did you do that? Why did you publish my name, whatever? Why did you mention this pub? You just say, oh, I'm sorry. I'm terribly sorry.
There was one
I almost felt for a moment that he was channeling Rebecca Wade. I thought he's become Rebecca Wade. It's amazing.
After one lady said, don't ring again, and slammed the phone down in a very strong Yorkshire accent, I thought, wait, you won't be featured then. I'll just leave you. Right. Most people are nice,
well,
though.
I mean, no names, but which part of Yorkshire was this?
West Yorkshire, I think.
West Yorkshire.
Those Westies.
Yeah.
So, Claire, if you're trying to break into publishing, then you're going to have to spend a long, long time with the slush pile.
Yep.
All the hundreds of uncommissioned books that are, well, not. No, there
some
is
might be.
Maybe 0.1% of the books is going to be workable with a lot of work on it, but the rest is middling, tough going.
Yes.
Are you looking forward to that?
Yes.
To find this little diamond in the rough.
Well, I would say it's worth it for that like one gem that you're gonna find, and having spent 3 years doing an English degree, like you read a lot of stuff, and some of the stuff, admittedly, you don't necessarily want to read, but it's taught me that you read everything to find the really good stuff.
But how much of the manuscript you have to read before you decide whether it's a goer or not?
I have no idea. I haven't got that quite that far yet, but hopefully the next couple of years.
Well, I'm admiring your confidence, because you have to go into that trade with that sort of attitude to be looking for the good one. But
I am very prepared to make lots of cups of tea and photocopy things for as long as it takes.
That's the spirit.
It's just a wondrous thing indeed to behold, the birth of a new publisher. You know, it's like William Morris probably started off with a similar thing back in the 19th century. Look what happened there. Whole agencies spawned from the whole sort of system. Amazing. Emma, have you got any questions you want to put to the Kohlmeister?
Yes. I'm very interested as well, because you've got the author side of things and the journalistic side of things. How do you manage to write a book and not do it in a journalistic way? Because writing journalism, because I'm studying journalism at the moment, and I always find you have to write
at
quite blunt.
At Lincoln?
Yes.
In fact, she was actually in the audience.
I was.
In that halcyon year when I coordinated the guest lecture programme, and indeed probably still has one of your shark's teeth.
I didn't get one, actually.
Unbelievable.
You've
right.
been robbed. You're right. There's a quite a massive difference in styles between journalistic writing and writing for a book. And when I decided to chance my arm at writing a book about 14 years ago, I thought it would be really simple, because I could write very, very fast and not too badly as a journalist. And then 7 books later, which were all unpublished, I realized there was quite a big difference between writing for a newspaper and writing a book. And similarly, a lot of novelists think they can write journalism, and no, they can't. And so I'm roughly with Ian Banks on this one. What he said before he died was, are we allowed to use any mild swearing on this program or not, by the way?
How mild is mild? Are we talking about the B
it's
word?
It's the S word. The S word.
Oh, just say shicer, that'll be enough. All right, let's hold it there.
Right,
okay.
He said, and I entirely agree with it, he said, the first 1,000,000 words you write are shite.
Oh, and Lord. Obviously.
And
didn't even translate it from German. You know, Lord above.
A scheiser. Yes. And that's just paying your dues. It takes a long time to learn. I mean, it took me about 6 years to write effectively as a journalist, and it took me 10 years to learn to write a novel. But I may be a very slow learner.
As long as it gets there in the end. Eva McDonald is listening into the show. There's been a last minute change over there, which is up the hill. So. There we are.
Over there.
Tragically, that means that Eva does not get her cakes. Aww. As delivered, of course, by the head of communications at the University of Lincoln, fabulous Ellie Sample. I'm sorry.
You're missing out.
Well, as you point out, technically, there are 2 days over the sell-by date now, but Claire, assured me, that's no problem.
Cakes never goes out of sugar.
Thank you for that sort of little advice there. Once again, Katie Dork comes to the rescue in her wonderful way.
That's a food fact right there.
Brilliant, in every sense of the word. So extraordinary. Yes, that I think just sums up everything, apart from the fact that I need to actually ask you, Bill, would you like a David Bowie track, or do you think we should take something slightly different?
I'd love a David Bowie track.
Would you? Right, which one would you particularly like, then?
My favourite is Life on Mars, but if you've had that one, I'll have Under Pressure with Queen.
Neither of which we've had so far, so would you like to go for Life on Mars? Or would you like Under Pressure?
Well, then... I'll go for definitely Life on Mars. It's my favourite one.
We'll be back with you after this.
God-awful small affair to the girl with the mousy hair, but her mummy is yelling no, and her daddy has told her to go, but her friend is nowhere to be seen. Now she walks through her sunken dream to the seat with the clearest view, and she's hooked.
Shall we wait for the phone to ring? It does, you know, if you can hear.
It's in the inverse. Pick it up, answer it. Here it is.
Somebody's ringing that phone, curiously tying up with the third tranche of phone hacking claims against the News of the World, which has actually just been launched, according to the UK Press Gazette. Still, if nothing...
Right.
Yeah.
They've got another basin for, have they?
I'm afraid so. Yes, exactly. News UK faces legal claims involving phone hacking at the summit. It's the third tranche of phone hacking claims, which is about to sort of emerge from that point of view. Well, you know, onwards ever onwards, but it's from Press Gazette. And the company has said the claims are unsubstantiated and that they will defend them vigorously. Well, there's a surprise, but anyway.
Yeah, having thrown a whole load of their former hacks the wolves choices of bribing cops and civil servants.
Yep.
And the whole lot got off, and now, they'll stand by them just like they did with that lot.
Exactly. Due to go to trial in April, in case you want to actually add it to your list of things to observe in 2016, Bill. But there we are.
Oh, yeah, I'll be in the court. I'm sure they'd just love to see my cheery little face in the background.
Oh, you give two thumbs up. You can actually go in, presumably, with sort of one of those giant finger signs. You know, sort of thing.
Waving the back.
Exactly. I think that would be... Anyway, written, of course, with the Spare Air handbook on both, so you get the branding in there. So just a useful thought there. Aspects you'd like to raise with Bill, Katie?
I want to hear more about the Spare Air handbook and what it is.
Yeah, the Spare Air.
I didn't actually write it. I merely edited it. And it's Prince Harry's thoughts and indeed wisdom on what it is to be a spare heir. And he wrote this book. There's a piece of advice for Princess Charlotte. Because she obviously has become the latest spare heir. And there was a wonderful foreword in it from Prince Andrew, because he obviously was the spare heir beforehand. So there you have it. And I was just Harry's humble editor.
You say that. It's a bit like J.K. Rowling saying she's got things to do with respect to strange monsters that have been found and all sorts of other bits and pieces. But, you know, it's there. You know, you are to, obviously, Prince Harry and indeed David Cameron what J.K. Rowling is to Harry Potter and Hermione.
Well, are you suggesting I just made it all up?
Well, you know, suffice to say, you know, I'm still await for the time. Maybe it'll be the New Year honours when we'll actually get a rise, Sir Bill. You know, Sir William.
I'm afraid I'm one of these old types. I'm not going to. I wouldn't accept any of those baubles. They're a complete waste of time. They're a joke. The only medal you want is a chess medal for bravery. That'd be worth having. But you know, CBE, knighthood, don't they suck a bit? Are you in awe of these people?
I couldn't possibly comment once again, because, you know, it would be...
Are you still holding out for, I think about whatever it's going to be, an MBE for services to radio.
Definitely.
Listen, I'm always available for prizes. It's always good. Just celebrate the goodness in the whole sequence.
I think Sir Alex has got quite a ring to it. Or maybe Lord Luchuk of Lincoln.
I like it. Yeah. That works. Good. Yep.
Well, there you have it. Last two questions for Bill Coles, please. Emma Tinson.
Yes, Bill, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
No, I haven't enjoyed it. I have absolutely loved it. Apart from the being cut off at the start, that was really hair-raising. I called you back and got hold of an answer phone.
In fact, he even emails to actually say the immortal words, Alex, exclamation mark, got cut off, exclamation mark, call me back.
Well, it was the best I could do.
Well, in that case, if we make sure that never happens again, would you like to join us on the show again in the near future?
Yes, I would love to. Anytime you want me on, I will be on. And if you could get somebody else apart from Alex pressing the button at the critical point, that would just be fantastic.
Yeah, okay then. Thank you. Let's move on.